Ephesians 5, 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for the Lord's people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Isn't that powerful? For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. That is why it's said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word, Father God. So you can see, there's a lot of choices to be made there. There's stuff that he's saying, this is not a good idea, but choose this, darkness, light, lots of stuff there. Okay, so let's have a look. Okay, I'm gonna step out now on this. Fantastic. Okay. Now, the bit I want to focus on is this last section, okay? As you can see, that I'm going to focus on the very last section here. So, the title of this is, the body needs to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm going to do a bit of a recap in a minute to explain why that is, but let me tell you something I've learned through studying this piece of scripture for this preach. I have always taken that verse, be filled with the Spirit, as an individual. It's always quoted as that way, you know, individually do it. And then it gets a bit strange because it says about speaking to one another. So there's the one another aspect. And I realize that it is an individual choice, but this is in a corporate, it's in a body context. And the whole of Ephesians is about the body. Okay? So that's why I've entitled this not just something like be filled with the Holy Spirit, but the body needs to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, quick recap. Quick recap of Ephesians. We had a sort of week off last week. I really encourage you. I do this every week. I just encourage you to get into this book to really ask God to speak to you. I do believe it's a book for us at the moment. That there's things in this that they're eternal. Yeah. They're for Woody at the moment. I really feel that. All right, so in the recap, chapters 1 to 3 basically is what God has done in Christ. It's those unbelievable chapters. Don't preach on it, Chris. It's been done. Carried out his eternal plan to put you in Christ. He established the body of Christ on earth, and he filled it with his power. Off it. Okay, so, you know, Ephesians is amazing. It's split. The first three are all about what God has done, and the following, the last three chapters are about really our response. Therefore, you know, this is what you need to walk in after this amazing thing that God has done in Christ. Okay, and then chapter four, if you remember, chapter four was, I was going to do both of it. This is when I had to take a week off because of my dad, and Gerwin brilliantly stepped in for me. I really appreciate that. And what chapter 4 was saying, that was on the basis of what God has done, he calls us individually to maturity and together to unity. So as a response to what has been said in the first chapters, come on, grow up. Grow up. Remember this phrase, it's not about you, it's not about me. This has really got under my skin. This has really got under my skin. I'm a bit annoyed that I found it. But you say God speak to me, and he speaks to you. And there's been so many situations that I've been going to, I'm not going to, oh, it's not about me. Oh, and it's very liberating. It's very liberating. Because as you serve, and people are lifted up, God blesses, and stuff happens. But you've got to get yourself out of the focus. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. I'll have an amen to that. Amen. It's about him. He's done it all. It's about him. It's about your brethren. It's about one another. The one another's in the scriptures. And it's about them. It's about those who don't know the love of Christ. Or we sit in and bathe in his love, and the whole billions don't know that love. So it's here's the sort of tension. In God's eye, it's all about you, the apple of his eye. But from your perspective, you've got to see this not about you. You trust that to God and you step out. All right, moving on. I want to just read these verses again because they're so awesomely awesome. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. That's like a business thing. It's like a marketing thing. You say, oh, there's an opportunity just to share my faith. There's an opportunity to say, how are you? There's an opportunity for a gift of kindness. It's that sort of thinking. You know, how many of those come along in a day? Oh, don't miss it. Anyway, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here we're coming to the choice between foolishness and wisdom. And this is where it really cuts the answer. As part of my daily reading, because it's numbered quite conveniently, I go through Proverbs every month. And it's a great way to pick up wisdom. Some of the verses, you're like, what does that mean? But there's some real wisdom in there. And I would encourage, think about it. But it tells a lot about wisdom. What is real wisdom? And also, what is foolishness? Okay, make the most of every opportunity. Do not be foolish. Ephesians 5, 18, 20. This is really too small for me to read without faffing about with glasses, which I don't want to get into. Okay, so do not get drunk on wine. I'm sorry, guys, it's down there. But it doesn't say don't drink wine, because Paul said take a little wine for your stomach. And obviously, in those times, if they didn't put some wine in the water, they would have died through the... you know, poison. It says don't get drunk. Don't lose control. Don't get in a place where you've not got self-control, because that leads to debauchery. Debauchery is basically a door that opens into all sorts of stuff, sensual and all that sort of stuff. Speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I'm going to try and sum that up, as we've been learning in our preaching thing, to try and sum up a set of texts. It's a very good exercise if you're doing Bible study. Take a few texts and try to sum it up in your own words. Sort of get something skinny. Don't be foolish and lose control, but be wise and choose to be filled with the Spirit and then worship together in thankfulness. Choices. Okay, so part of this is about choices. I like this picture because you can imagine as a driver coming up to that set. Can you see that up there? Yeah. Confusion. And as they say, life's like that. There's a lot of choices out there. There's a lot of stuff to choose. There's a lot of things you could be doing. It takes a lot of wisdom and relying on the Holy Spirit to guide you through this, working with others and so on. And remember, as I said at the beginning, you've got that free will. You've got that free will. God's always saying it's your choice. It's your choice. What a father. What a loving heavenly father. I'm just going to compare some of these now. So God's way from these verses is wisdom, doing God's will, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay? That's his will, that you're filled with his Holy Spirit. And you'll be living a thankful life. Our way, or the world's way, the other way, is foolishness, the way of the world, drunkenness, which he's saying, because remember, he's not saying don't drink, he's saying don't lose control. Losing self-control. There are so many things in the world that are just so accepted now. You younger guys especially, and I think in the student environment, I've talked about this before, how, you know, I've been there already for quite a while, working with students and understanding a bit about it. But when our daughter went to college, I was amazed, and that was about 6 years ago or something, I don't know, quite a while ago. The drinking culture, I just couldn't get over it. It was like straight in. If you're not smashed every night, what are you doing? And it's appalling because it does open the doors to stuff. There's a lot of regrets out there. It may surprise you to know that I don't drink now because it was just a thing between me and God. I thought that's what he was calling me to do personally. But there's a time in the past when I did drink. I never really got into drinking culture because I was doing drugs. So I thought, well, I can't do drugs and drink. That's a bit over the top, isn't it? So I was moderation in all things, I thought. So I was your hippie. I was your cannabis and acid and all that sort of stuff, although I never took, mainlining or anything. I never injected anything. So I had these few years of being a bit wild, you know, doing my father's editing totally. And also getting drunk a couple of times. And I remember once, isn't it amazing how things, when you're drunk, awful, awful, awful thing. Now, of course, none of you have ever been drunk, so I'm just trying to give you an insight into a world that you know nothing about. But sometimes you make very bad choices when you're drunk. And I remember having a few Velinvoil, that's a killer, having a bit too much Velinvoil. It's a Welsh ale from West Wales. It tastes lovely, but stop at the first pint. And I remember thinking it'd be a good idea to start a fight with my best mate. While he was driving the van at midnight in the lanes of West Wales, I just launched into him. I thought, you're not having that, and we started having a fight all over the road, blah, blah, blah. Not a good idea, looking back. Not a good idea. Fortunately, there was another guy. We were three of us in a band. And the other guy smashed me to the back of the van and probably saved our lives. So I'm just doing that to try and sort of puncture the idea. You obviously think that I'm pretty perfect. I've never got drunk or anything. But I, too, have been in situations where I drank too much and did stupid stuff. But that, to a lot of people, would be, that's a great story. That's fantastic. I wish I was doing that. There's this thing with being drunk, and you are going to be making choices all the time. That could have gone badly, badly wrong. We were in the middle of nowhere. If we'd have crashed, that would have been it. Again, I didn't really think that through, I'll be honest. So I want you to realize that your lives and the choices you make are going to be a challenge to people. Yeah? Foolishness. I just wanted to find a nice picture of foolishness. Now, of course, what's in a picture? It may be a disused railway line, you know what I mean? But I just thought that was a great picture of foolishness. But there are people in the church, they're in similar situations. They think, yeah, this isn't a problem. I'm in this relationship, I'm doing the drink, I'm with these people, whatever. I haven't talked to God about it. Everything's going to be all right. Wake up. Talk to God. Get his wisdom on the situations. Okay, I really want to move on. The whole thing about today is choosing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So this is what I want to sort of get to. Why be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because, as it says, it's God's will for you. It's God's will. So often we say, I wonder what the will of the Lord is. Here is one. The will of the Lord is that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't really need much more than that, do you? It's clear there. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, the will of the Lord, because this is wrong. Here's some other things. Because we can't live this life without being filled with God. We can't live this life for God without being filled with God. Don't become a new Christian legalist and just do a whole load of stuff because you think you should do it. I mean, that's just more bondage. Do the stuff that God wants you to do, but you need the Holy Spirit to do it. I love this idea. You see there, gifts and fruits, about the person of Christ. And it says, the idea is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so as the Holy Spirit moves you and begins to give you gifts, they give you the conduct of Christ. So what did Christ do? He went around healing. He went in words of knowledge. He knew what was going on. He could speak the Father's heart into situations. He did it by the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that in a minute a bit more clearly. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit that comes up, gives us the character of Christ. Christ was gentle. Christ was loving. Christ was faithful. All those things, those are not easy. Even for perfect people like me, they are not easy to do. It's hard work keeping that up. You need the filling of the Holy Spirit. And you need to make those choices. And here's the killer. Because Jesus is our example. He said, as you've seen me do, you do. He said, teach people as I have taught you. In other words, the life of Christ is our example. So what was happening with Christ and the Holy Spirit? This is from Luke 2 and 3. It sort of starts the story. There's a big genealogy and then finishes the story. So I'm just going to do the bits that say the story, right? When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, you are my son, and with you I am well pleased. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had been filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the God-man, man-God, needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How much more? How much more us? And then, then from Acts, this is when Peter's talking to Cornelius. He says, you know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. God filled Jesus with the Holy Spirit. Because in other words, if he needed the Spirit to do it, otherwise it would be impossible. He would have lived a life just with divine power and said, now you do it. So we can't, Lord, we haven't got the Holy Spirit. And it would just be a dead religion and wouldn't have lasted a week. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, when you look at the miracles that the apostles did, filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to look a bit at the language used here, because it's not straightforward. It's quite tricky to get this. When it says be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's this thing. I'm not a Greek scholar, but trying to understand this, it's a continuous imperative. It's saying, go on doing it. Don't just be filled once. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Continually opening yourself to God. Say, fill me, Father, fill me, Father. And I'm just going to give you a few different ways where people try and get that, right? So the second one, seek the fullness which the Spirit gives. Seek. Make a choice. Don't settle. Don't be foolish. Seek the fullness which the Spirit gives. But be filled, this is the Amplified, be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by him. I love that. I love that. That's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you as you say, yes, Lord, I need more of you. Fill me with yourself. Fill me with your Spirit. And this is the message, and this rocks it. Don't drink too much wine. Drink in God's Spirit in huge draughts. And you know what he's pointing at here is that Paul did something quite radical, which would have really challenged the religious people. Because what he was saying to the church, look around you and see that lots of people are getting drunk and see what that leads to. Well, you drink, but you drink the Holy Spirit. You take in the Holy Spirit and see what that brings into your life. And some people would have been offended, but how can you compare? But what he's saying is you're making a choice. You're making a choice between going the way that they are going and drinking that, or between drinking the Holy Spirit. It's the same thing, because it's a choice, it's a request, and it's available. So this is a being filled. This is going on being filled. When you look at Peter was filled a number of times. Jesus rose from the dead. He breathed on them, said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Then there was Pentecost, got totally zapped. Then there was another time when they set aside Barnabas. Slow down. Set aside Barnabas. And they were filled again with the Holy Spirit. And then he was in the house of Cornelius. I mean, he was just going, where's the Holy Spirit? I'm going to be there. Be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled. Do you think there's an end to what the Holy Spirit's got? Think of Bill Johnson. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It works. That's quite good, actually. It's quite good. I'm going to talk about how to be filled and just things you need to think about. Look, it's a person. It's the very person of God. It's God, the Holy Spirit. It's not a power. It's not a formula. It's not fairy dust. It's not something to make you get up and go and boom, boom. It's not WD-40. It's the very person of God. It's God, the Holy Spirit, wants to fill you with himself. The anointing is a person. It's God himself. Because of what Christ has done, and because you're in Christ and Christ is in you, the very person of God is able to come in. As we've learned, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. He is building a dwelling. And he wants to fill you. But he gives you a choice. He says, invite. He says, ask. Isn't that incredible? He doesn't just come in and, oh, you're a Christian now. Bang, there's the mold. Now go and do it. God is so good. God is so gracious. How do you want to do it? Okay, you need to ask. You need to ask. You need to just go and see. And you need to believe. And you need to surrender. Okay? I would love to have a C for that, but it's ABS. Okay. Anyway, ABS it is. Ask, believe, surrender. Let's bang through this. Ask. James says, you do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you don't receive because you ask him with wrong motives, that you may spend what you want on your pleasure. Remember, it's not about you. You're serving. You're serving God, and you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not so you get a blasting fill up. Oh, that's amazing. So you can serve, but you need to ask. I'm really banging through now because I want to get to this. We're going to have a time of worship and response on this. If you want, the invitation is going to be there. Believe, oh, believe, how good is God. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? Just think of that expression. How much more than a loving father not poisoning a child would give the Holy Spirit? I hope you're getting this, that God is completely on board with this one. It was his idea. He's for this. He wants to pour out his Spirit. Then you surrender. I got into a terrible mess with this. I'm quite an intense sort of guy. The first time I remember watching, because I'm not into sport and everything, you know, generally football and blah, blah, blah. But rugby, yeah, a bit of a late developer, but then I really got into it. And I remember watching a match, and my daughters were quite young at the time. They thought I was having a fit. They actually thought I was having a mental breakdown because they said, but Dad's watching this sport and he's going crazy. And I said, yeah, well, there's Wales playing, you know, with that emotional roller coaster they tend on. So I tend to get a bit intense about things. And when it came to this thing of the Holy Spirit, I was coming from a place of not believing there was a baptism of the Holy Spirit or gifts or anything. Okay, I was a Catholic, became a hippie, became a Christian, went to Reformed Church. It was all done. It was all about the Word. I praise God for the teaching I had in the Word, but nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. I don't, you know, and I was really against it. I didn't believe in the gifts or anything. So when I eventually was broken by God, and I said, okay, God, fill me. And I gave it back to him. I got intense about it. And what I had to do was just leave it with him and stop going, give me, give me, give me. And I just said, God, in your time. And the Lord filled me with the power of his Holy Spirit when someone was saying grace at a meal. So what I'm saying is you do this act of surrender and then you trust, you leave it with him, okay? Okay, so you ask, you believe on the basis of the word, and then you surrender. Here I am, fill me. Now, and this is the final bit now. There's a peculiar thing here because when we quote this thing, be filled with the Holy Spirit, like I say, often it's like an individual thing. You see, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But this is totally, as I said at the beginning, it's in the context of each other, one another. Which is why he then says, after you be filled with the Holy Spirit and praise and sing over each other. And he's talking about this corporate thing. So, it's about individually, we can't take a church meeting vote on this. This church will be filled with the Holy Spirit. All those in favor. It's an individual decision. It's an individual request. It's an individual ask and believe. Nobody else can do that for you. You will know if you want more of the Holy Spirit or you don't. And nobody's forcing. God's not forcing you. He's saying, here it is. Here it is. He's saying, here it is before you. You can choose. You can drink. You can just take the water I've offered you. You can be filled with this. Or you can do nothing. Or at the other time, you can take the murky water. It's a choice. But this is also in the context of a group of people being filled with the Spirit and blessing one another. And the first way they're blessing one another is that by their singing from the Spirit, praise to God, like over one another. It doesn't mean individually going up and going, God loves you, Stu, you're just amazing. You know, we're on the bus or something. That's an awkward one. It means as we gather together and we praise and we are in a lifestyle of worship and praise and walking together in that, God is moving through that. God is moving through that. So that's an encouragement as a church. We've got awesome worship leaders and Gerwin's and Alan have been brilliant leadership to it. I'm just so excited about God's doing that. I want you to really, really see this, that our corporate worship is important. Not an end in itself. Not an end in itself, not about Woody, but about enabling us to lift up the name of Jesus. And in that place, as we bless each other and pray over each other, as we sing and allow the Holy Spirit to move, we can say to God, come and do what you want among us. I don't know what God wants to do, but you get a good sense from the scriptures. Last week, as we were worshiping, Dave Grove came forward, and I couldn't touch his arm. I didn't realize at the time, so I did an elder-type prayer, and I slapped my arm on his arm and nearly killed him. But he'd had some injections, and his arm was very sore. I do apologize for that, Dave, by the way. And he said he couldn't lift it or anything. And we prayed, and the power of the Holy Spirit came down during the worship, and you testify, if you weren't here, he testified, he had a total healing just like that, wasn't it? That's not us. That's God just moving in the worship. Okay.